Today is the 13th of January 2008. We continue the Brahmanet Sutra, page 24, Shakyamuni Buddha. Before we begin the lesson, we recite the name of the Buddha three times. Namo Bonasa Thikka Mo Ni Phat Namo Bonasa Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật Nam Mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. We continue on page 24. Shakyamuni Buddha. At the time, Shakyamuni Buddha, after first appearing in the lotus treasury world, proceed to the east and appear in the heavenly king's palace to teach the demon transforming sutra. He then descends to Jambudvipa to be born in Kapilavastu. Shakyamuni Buddha, we learned the last time, he appeared in the lotus treasury world of the Vairocana Buddha. So now he goes to the east and appears in the heavenly king's palace to teach the demon transforming sutra. We don't have this sutra. The reason is that he taught to the king of the heaven. We don't have any record from it. Now he then descends to Jambudvipa. Jambudvipa we learned also before. That is the Saha world in the south. To be born in Kapilavastu. That is his country. His name being Siddhartha. Siddhartha is his name and his father's name is Suddhodana. His mother was Queen Maya. On this you have learned before, right? About the history of the Buddha. He achieved enlightenment at the age of 30. Or 29, somebody say that. After 7 years of cultivation, somebody say six, under the name of Shakyamuni Buddha. Okay. So then if you believe that he got enlightened at the age of 29, he spent 6 years. And if you think that he spent 7 years, now he got enlightenment at age 30. And whenever he became enlightened, he had the name of Shakyamuni. Muni means the one who get enlightened. The Buddha spoke in 10 assemblies from the diamond seat at Bodh Gaya to the palace of Brahma. After the Buddha became enlightened, he started to preach. And whenever he's preaching, we call them assembly from the diamond seat at Bodh Gaya. Bodh Gaya is the place where he became enlightened. You know Bodh Gaya, right? Bodh Gaya is the place where there was the Mahabodhi temple and the pipala tree, where he became enlightened, and he even, you know, arise to the palace of Brahma to teach these beings. At that time, he contemplated the wonderful jewelness hung in Lord Brahma's palace and preached the Brahmanet Sutra for the great assembly. You don't have the question, right? He contemplated the jewelness. We learned before. You remember? The jewelness means the Brahmanet. The Brahmanet is like everything in the world is interrelated, like the net, which, you know, each constellation or each star is compared to like to a jewel hook to the intersection of the net. So that's what we call by the wonderful jewel net. That is like at night when you look in the sky and you see on the stars, and you think that, well, everything is contemplated, because he contemplates, so he thinks that everything in the world is, in the universe is interrelated like that, and preach the Brahmanet Sutra for the great assembly. Great assembly means assembly of many beings. He said the innumerable, that is uncountable worlds in the cosmos are like the eyes of the net. Now you understand, right? Each and every world is different. Its variety infinite. So too are the Dharma doors or the method of cultivation taught by the Buddha. So he makes an analogy. That is, we have the world, we have like the Earth, Jupiter, Mars, every planet, every world is different. So the Dharma door, that is the teaching of the Buddhas, is also variable. That is, he teaches one thing to one group of person, the other thing to another group of person. Like, you know, if you like, if you want something really bad, like you just want, you know, to become a god, some people just like that. They don't want to do the things for all the sentient beings, but they want to get some rewards. So the Buddha now taught them some way to practice it. This is not only one practice for everyone, but according to the practice, you go somewhere. You don't go to the same place. It's like, you know, you have like an ulcer of stomach. Like, you know, ulcer of stomach, you can take some calcium pill, you can take some Mylanta, Mylox, to heal it. Or you can go to doctor, or you can go to pharmacy, buy some Prilosec over the counter, some Zantac over the counter, to decrease the acid, the production of the acid. Or you can go to some Chinese doctor and ask them to make you some concoction and you drink to try to heal it, to regulate all the qi and things like this. Or you can go to the doctor and then he do some operation, he cut off the ulcer. So each treatment is different. But the doctor who cut off the ulcer, you don't have it anymore. Now the fact that you take the Mylanta or Mylox, it heals it. But it does not guarantee that you get rid of it forever. So each treatment is a little bit different. So the Buddha teach sentient being the same thing. That is, he teach to one group one thing, and to other group the other things. Like you remember, we learned about the Sigalovada Sutta. He taught Sigalo how to be had in the world. That is, you know, like to be good to your parents, to take care of the family, to take care of the job, the servants. But he cannot teach the same thing to the monks like that. He cannot tell the monk, okay, go buy some new ones to your wife, take care of your wife. No, he cannot. So each group, you know, is taught differently. That is what we call by Dharma door. So each and every word is different. So two are the Dharma doors taught by the Buddha. I have come to this world 8,000 times. That is, Shakyamuni came to this world only 8,000 times. Based in this Saha world, sit upon the Jewan diamond seat in Bodh Gaya, Jewan seat. The Jewan diamond seat, that is precious. That means precious, that's it. No big deal. Okay, that is the place he sit in Bodh Gaya. Historically speaking, he just sit at the tree of Bodh Gaya. But now we call that place, you know, the diamond seat. And all the way up to the palace of the Brahma King. I have spoken in general about the Mai Grau Dharma Door for the benefit of the great multitude. No question, right? Multitude means that all the sentient beings, different sentient beings. He has taught different teaching to different groups. Thereafter, I descend to the Brahma King's palace, to Jambudvipa, the human world. I have preached the diamond illuminated human precepts. That is the Bodhisattva precept in other words. These precepts, these 10 precepts and 48 smaller precepts are called the diamond illuminated jewel precepts. From beneath the Bodhi tree for the sake of all sentient beings on earth, however dull and ignorant they may be. Because these precepts, all these precepts we learn later, are for all sentient beings. In fact, you know, all we don't need to be very educated to learn them or to keep them. Basically, you know, these are like just the five precepts with some annotation. These precepts were customarily recited by Vajrayana Buddha when he first developed the body mind in the Kodan stage. That is, you know, these are the same precepts, you know, which Vajrayana Buddha we learned before. That is the primordial Buddha. He developed when he taught all the people, he found it out, and then he taught all the people. They are precisely the original source of all Buddhas and all Bodhisattva, as well as the seat of the Buddha natures. That is, all these precepts, the Bodhisattva precepts, you know, are the core of all the Buddha natures. If you want to cultivate your Buddha nature to become Buddha or become Bodhisattva, and you don't want to keep these precepts and learn about these precepts, you cannot. Because these are precepts for Bodhisattva. You remember last time we said there are three kinds, the root precepts. One is the precepts, that is, you know, avoidance to do things. And second is incitement to do good things. And third, you know, to harm all sentient beings. The normal precepts, all the other precepts, you know, consist only of prohibition, interdiction. That is, do not, do not, do not, do not, do not. Now the Bodhisattva itself also tell you, do not lie, but also tell you how to help other people and incite you to do good things. If you see some good people who are in bad conditions, you go to help them. Like in the time of the sound of these people, because they were enslaved. Now we try to help them. Even nowadays, in the 21st century, you see, some places in the world, they still have war, and they kill each other. So some race killing some other people. And they keep on doing the same thing, because of their ignorance. Now, so we try not to help them develop that. All sentient beings possess this Buddha nature. All with consciousness, form, and mind are encompassed by the precept of the Buddha nature. Sentient beings possess the correct cause of the Buddha nature, and therefore they will surely attain the ever-present Dharma body. That is, all sentient beings, whether or not they are like animals, or learned people, or smart people, they have the same Buddha nature. All sentient beings. Because we learned before through the metempsychosis, that is the process of being reborn and reborn and reborn. Sometimes we forget something, but then we continue on this consciousness from life to life, from life form to life form. So sentient beings possess the correct cause of the Buddha nature, and therefore they will surely attain the ever-present Dharma body. For this reason, the 10 Pratikmosa precepts came into being in this world. That is the 10 grave precepts. We learn about it later. These precepts belong to the true Dharma. They are received and upheld in utmost reverence by all sentient beings of the three periods of time. That is the past, the present, and the future. Once again, I shall preach for the great assembly the chapter on the inexhaustible precept treasury. These are the precepts of all sentient beings, the source of pure self-nature. The inexhaustible precept treasury. That is the chapter about all these precepts, only the 10 precepts. Grave precepts and 48 life precepts. But these, are the roots of all the good things we can do. Because you remember, the Bodhisattva precept differ principally from all the precepts in the way that they incite you to do the good things and also to liberate all sentient beings. In all the precepts, you basically they call them small vehicle, that is Hinayana, because you try to liberate for yourself. When you sit down, you try to cultivate yourself. When you recite the name of the Buddha, you want to be reborn in some pure land. But you don't help other people. You don't help anyone else. Even your parents, you don't help them. So whenever you want to help them, you have to get on, to keep on these Bodhisattva precepts. These precepts are not contradictory to the name reciting or to Zazen. They are only complementary. That is, you keep on practicing whatever you want, but you keep these precepts to help you better. Now this is the Gatha. The Gatha usually in the Sutta, that is the teaching of the Buddha, we have the Sutta, the Gatha. Gatha means a poem which condenses on this stuff. Because you remember, in the time there was no books. We said that before. So people have to recite. And some people say it, and some people try to remember. And the best way to remember is by poem. That is by something you can remember. If you go home and try to learn to study the Brahmana Sutra and you say, at that time, Shakyamuni Buddha first appearing in the lotus treasury world. You say, at that time, Shakyamuni Buddha after first appearing. It's difficult to remember. But if it's in poem, you remember better. Now I, Varakana Buddha, am sitting atop a lotus pedestal. Now we go to it. On 1,000 flowers surrounding me, this is just a repetition of what we have learned. So there shouldn't be any question, but if you don't understand anything, you stop me. On 1,000 flowers surrounding me are 1,000 Shakyamuni Buddha. Each flower supports 100 million worlds. In each world, a Shakyamuni Buddha appears or are seated beneath Bodhi tree on simultaneously attain Buddhahood. These are the part of the Vairocana Buddha we learned last time. All these innumerable Buddha have Vairocana as their original body. Vairocana is the primordial Buddha. You know, the word of Buddha nature. He is not a historical Buddha. These countless Shakyamuni Buddha all bring followers along as numerous as the modes of dust. They all proceed to my lotus pedestal to listen to the Buddha's precept. Now, I now preach the Dharma, this exquisite nectar. You don't have a question about this exquisite nectar, right? Afterward, the countless Buddhas return to their respective worlds and under a Bodhi tree proclaim these major and minor precepts of Vairocana, the original Buddha. That is, you know, Vairocana Buddha teach this precept to all multitude of Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha. And each Shakyamuni Buddha, after listening to this, come back to their worlds and preach to all the sentient beings. Like a shining necklace of gems, Bodhisattva as numerous as most of those upholden and attained Buddhahood. That is, the Buddha Bodhisattva are the ones, you know, who get enlightened by these precepts. Like you, if you take these precepts, you become Bodhisattva. These precepts are recited by Vairocana. These precepts I recite as well. You novice Bodhisattva, that is Bodhisattva in training. Like you just said, right? We just said before. So you are novice Bodhisattva. Should reverently accept and uphold them, and once you have done so, transmit and teach them to sentient beings. See, this is the third root precept. Do not do bad things, do the good things, and liberate all sentient beings, hem all sentient beings. That is the third. Transmit and teach them to sentient beings. Now listen attentively as I recite the Bodhisattva Pratimosha, that is precept, the source of all precepts in the Buddha Dharma. All of you in the great assembly should firmly believe that you are the Buddha of the future. It's difficult to believe, right? Because some people say, oh, I don't want to become Buddha. The Buddha just sit on the lotus, oh, it hurts, but don't do anything. Because they believe in that. The Buddha does not, you know, just sit on the lotus flower. So, you are the Buddha of the future. Why I am the Buddha already accomplished? If you should have such prayer at all times, then this precept code is fulfilled. That is, you have to believe that you will become Buddha. You might not be Buddha yet because you still have some ignorance, some sins, if you want to say it, some default. But if you can get rid of them or you recognize them, you correct them, you will become Buddha. All beings will resolve, should accept, all beings with resolve, that is with determination, should accept and uphold the Buddha's precepts. Sentient beings on receiving them join forthwith the ranks of Buddhas. They are in essence equal to the Buddha. They are the true offspring of the Buddha. If whenever you receive all these precepts and you swear not to uphold them, you are in essence equal to the Buddha. You are Buddha. And then you are also the offspring of the Buddha, the son and daughter of the Buddha. Therefore, great assembly, listen with utmost reverence as I proclaim the Bodhisattva moral code. Now this Buddha Shakyamuni starts to recite them. The Buddha reciting the Bodhisattva precepts. At that time when Shakyamuni Buddha first attained the supreme enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, you don't have a question, right? He explained the Bodhisattva precepts. The Buddha taught filial piety toward one's parent and the master and the triple jewel. Now some people say that, well, historically speaking, you know, the Shakyamuni Buddha just went to the deer park to explain to Kodana and the four of the one about the four noble truths and things. But historically speaking also, you know, after the enlightenment, he doesn't go right away. He stays up the tree. He stay at the tree and then think about teaching to the devas, to the gods. He tried to teach to the god, especially in the Mahayana, that is the large vehicle. The large vehicle, we thought that he taught to the devas, the gods. He went to the Brahma, heaven, and taught to all the gods in the Avatamsaka Sutra. After that, he come back and then he talked to all the people. But historically speaking, you see, you remember there was two lay people, two laymen who came from Burma. These two Burmese merchants came there, and the Buddha gave them some hair, some strand of hair, because when he sat down at the Bodhi tree for 49 days, that is 7 weeks, the hair grow long. And then the nail and things. So he cut some nail and some hair and give to them. These people, you know, bring back to Burma. So nowadays, if you go to Burma, there was some, they call them the sari of the Buddha, consisting of some strand of hair. And then, you know, after that, he started, you know, to teach to the five Kodana brothers. But what he taught filial piety to our one's parents, elder master, and the triple jivas. Now you see that, well, it's crazy, right? Because there was no triple jivan at the time. When the Buddha became enlightened, he is Buddha. He had the Dharma. But he didn't have any disciple. So he didn't have a triple jivan. There was no triple jivan yet. There was only Buddha. Probably the Dharma. He didn't speak to anyone, so probably, you know, he had only the Buddha. It couldn't be called triple jivan. So how? But then, you know, with the Mahayana, that is the great vehicles, we believe that, you know, after that he talked to the Devas. So all these people, all these beings, you know, who believe in him are the Sangha. So you see the difference in meaning in the Sangha, in the Hinayana and the Mahayana. Usually in the Hinayana, in some monks, they believe the Sangha means only the monks, no one else, only the monks. The monks are called Sangha, and all the people are called the assembly. But the Buddha in the Mahayana, whoever trusts with the Buddha, whoever takes refuge in the Buddha, consists the Sangha, consists of the Sangha. That is not comprised the Sangha. If you are Buddhist, you belong to the Sangha, whether you are monk or nun or nothing. Because in the Mahayana is different. Even animals, even like the deva, the devas, if they take refuge in the Buddha, they belong to the Sangha. See the difference? So then we'll see there is a big difference between the Hinayana, the small vehicle, and the large vehicle. So if you belong to the small vehicle, you go to some Theravada, they never say anything about these bodhisattva precepts. In fact, you know, they don't even believe in the bodhisattva. That is, you know, the Kuan Yin, the Liatang. They don't even recite the names. Filial piety and obedience, he say, are the ultimate path to Buddhahood. Filial piety is called the precepts, and it means restraint and cessation. Restraint and cessation. You understand that, right? But some people will start to say, hey, the Buddha now knows, did he really want us to get attached to? Because you see, we learned that the Buddha said attachment is bad, right? Attachment is the root of suffering. You remember that, right? We learned about the point of control. So now how come he say about filial piety? Filial piety means that you love your parents. There's nothing wrong with that. But the more you love your parents and the parents of your parents, you will get more attached to them. Right? How can you become monk? How can you become liberated? But you see, this is only, you know, like a reason by people who don't practice enough. For people who practice more like you, people, you start this thing. Filial piety does not mean I love my parents. Why? Because I don't have only one life. We have previous life, and we will have all the lives. So in my previous life, I have different parents. I might have different son, daughter, wife. And in my previous and previous, many, many, many lives before, I have multitude of parents, multitude of wives, multitude of brothers and sisters, multitude of enemies, of course. So then, see, filial piety means I take this piety, this respect, this love to all sentient beings. You understand now, right? So it does not mean that you see this man, your name is Trần, whatever, your father is Trần, whatever, only this guy who is your father. All the people are your father also. Probably, you know, you were my grandparent at the time. We don't know. So now we meet again. So you remember, you understand now. Filial piety is called the precepts. Because it may restrain incestation, because you cannot do harm to your parents. If you were my parent before, and I were your parents before, so can we hurt each other? So then if you think that you have only a mother and a father, probably a two among three different mother, two different father, because now, you know, they get divorced, but what I mean is that if you believe only like that, you know, you get wrong. You cannot become Bodhisattva. But if you believe that we have lived before, we will live later, we will live again and again, you will have this kind of filial piety. So you understand it now. The Buddha then emitted limitless lies from his mouth. Thereupon the whole great assembly, limitless lies from his mouth. That means that he will teach, you know, the true thing. The thing which are true, which are, you know, like unlimited in scope. Thereupon the whole great assembly, consisting of innumerable bodhisattvas, the gods of the 18 Brahma heaven, the gods of the 6 desire heaven, and the ruler of the 16 kingdoms. This part, the gods of the 18 Brahma heavens. Now you remember, we have learned that we, in Buddhist cosmology, we have the realm of desire. We belong to the realm of desire. The realm of design, the realm of form, and at most, you know, the realm of no form, or formless. Dục giới, sắc giới, vô sắc giới. When you practice, you go up and up. So in the realm of desire, right here, the God of 18 Brahma heaven is the realm of form. The 18 heavens, these 18 heavens belong to the realm of form. That is whenever you practice the dhyana, tứ thiền, nhất, sơ thiền, nhị thiền, tam thiền, tứ thiền. When you sit down and you contemplate, you go first into the first dhyana. That is the first stage. You have three heavens. And then you go to the second dhyana, nhị thiền. You get also three different heavens. You go to the third dhyana, that is tam thiền. You get also three different heavens. That means 9 of them. And then when you go to the fourth dhyana, that is tứ thiền, you get 9 heavens. There are 9 heavens over there. I don't explain all these minute details because you will not remember anyway. But you understand why do they call them here 18 Brahma heavens. Because in the realm of form, there are like a 4 dhyana. The first 3 dhyana, each one has 3 heavens. The last one, the fourth dhyana, has 9 heavens. We learn a lot, you know, in the Vietnamese class. They probably know, remember everything now. Since, you know, we have to finish this, I cannot dwell deeper. But you understand what? And the 6 desire heaven, that the realm of desire, we have 6 heavens. You remember? The Sumeru Mountain, the top of the Sumeru Mountain is the second heaven of the chakra king, Tuthin Vuong of the chakra. That is the Lithic, Vodithic. And then the middle of it belongs to the 4 heaven kings, Tuthin Vuong. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is the top of the Sumeru Mountain. The Lithic, Vodithic, that's the second heaven. Now the third, the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth all belong to the desire heaven. So the 6 desire heaven and the rulers of the 16 great kingdoms, these, you know, belong to the earth. Because in the time in India, they believe that surrounding India there was like 16 kingdoms. You remember at the time of the Buddha, India, you know, has not been unified yet, historically speaking. In the time of the Buddha, India was comprised by different kingdoms, and they call them 16 great kingdoms. They will be unified later, only after Ashoka. All joined their palms and listened single-mindedly to the Buddha reciting the Mahayana precepts. That is, you see, all the gods of the realm of form, of desire on the kings of the world reside. I mean, listen to the Buddha. Why? Because the king, why they didn't say the gods of no form, or formless. You understand, right? Well, but it's easy. You say it, oh, no form. If you don't have form, how can you see them? Even if they are like 3 or 10 or 1 million, you don't see anyone. Because they're formless. In the formless heavens, you don't have form. So how can you see anyone? So if they say like there are like 18 kings, you know, or 18 gods from the formless, you can say, hey, they are formless, so how can they appear? The Buddha then said to the Bodhisattva, this is, you know, are like the liturgy. Twice a month, I recite the precepts observed by all Buddhas. All Bodhisattva, from those who have just developed the Bodhi mind to the Bodhisattva of the 10 grounding 10 practices, 10 dedication, and the 10 grounds, these, you know, are on the practice stages of the Bodhisattva in the Abhidhamsaka Sutra. So all the Buddha and all the Bodhisattva will recite the same precepts. So don't think that, you know, twice a month, you know, whenever you gather to recite the precepts, you call your friends and come in. No. All the Bodhisattva, all the Buddha, all over the world, be they, you know, in China, be they in Japan, be they in Korea, in Vietnam, they gather the same time and they recite the same place. Of course, not really at the same time, because we have different time, right? And the world, but basically, you know, they gather twice a month. Therefore, this precept light shines forth from my mouth. That is explaining, you know, why they say that from the mouth of the Buddha, emit, you know, on this light. It does not arise without cause. This light is neither blue, yellow, red, white, or black. That is, it must be white, right? Because they say that he emit, you know, white light. Remember that? And we have learned before, blue, yellow, red, you know, white, not black. So this, you know, this light, you know, is not of any color, the green color, because color is form. I take back what I will say. That is, the color is the form, something you see. This is figuratively speaking. So it is not, because if you think that, well, he emits, you know, some yellow thing, you know, light from the mouth. So he must have some LED, you know, yellow nowadays. Because we have only like a red LED, you know, and blue LED, right? Now we start to have a yellow LED. Oh, cool. No. It is neither form nor thought. See? It is neither form nor thought. It is neither existent or non-existent, neither cause or nor effect. That's difficult to understand, but you have to pay very close attention. This precept light is precisely the original source of all Buddhas and all members of this great assembly. So it is not pure, it is not stained. It is not formed, it is not thought. It is not existent or non-existent. It is not cause, it is not effect. The same thing, you know, we recite in the Heart Sutra. Right? That is, if you understand that from the beginning, there was no beginning anymore. Because we have come only, you know, by cycle like this. We just go transform. Now we take this like form. Like we said, 6 billion years later, there will be no solar system. So we all migrate to some other place. Some people gather together, some people go to different places. But then you will have different life form. That is the reason why, you know, you watch all these science fiction movies, and these guys who have big eyes, big head like that, and hands small, I think. They just know inventor. So what they mean is that we will take different form, different life form. Therefore, all you disciples of the Buddha should receive and observe, read, recite, and study these precepts with utmost attention. Disciples of the Buddha, listen attentively. Whoever can understand and accept the Dharma Master words of transmission can receive the Bodhisattva precepts and be called foremost in purity. You see this? So that means the Bodhisattva precept can be transmitted to anyone, be him, you know, Christian, Muslim, ignorant people, animals, even animals. That is the reason why, you know, in these precepts, whenever you see some animals in suffering, or you see like a poor dog, things like this, or you will say something like,
You are dog, no. You will become Buddha later. In this precept, you learn later. There are precepts not saying like this. That is not to try to develop compassion to all these animals, to all these sentient beings. If you don't hate them, you cannot, you know, harm them. So, all of these, whoever can understand and accept the Dharma Master World, can receive the Bodhisattva and be called foremost in purity. This is true whether that person is a king, a prince, an official, a monk, a nun, or a god of the 18 Brahma heaven, we learned before, right? The of form realm, the realm of form. A god of the 6 desire heaven, the desire realm, the realm of desire, the 6 heavens. Or a human, an eunuch. Eunuch, what is it? We don't have them anymore nowadays. But in the time, you see the kings, they have servants, you know, in their palace. The girls, you know, is all right. But the men, whenever they come in, they have to castrate them. You understand what I mean, right? You understand what I mean? If you don't understand, say, I don't understand. That means, you know, they cannot, you know, do bad thing, you know, to the woman in the palace. That is, they call them the eunuch. So most of the time that is it. But sometimes, you know, basically you can become a eunuch, like people who have certain kind of disease. They are not men, they are not women, or they are both or something due to the development problem with the hormones. So the eunuch, you understand what? That is, you know, it is not like a regular man, okay, or a regular woman. Because in the time that they define man is someone, you know, who we have to marry and then keep the transmission of the family. And women is someone, you know, who will care the baby. We will carry the baby. But now, you know, this eunuch, he can do it neither. A libertine. A libertine means the one, you know, who is, you know, bad. That is, you know, he go, you know, do the karaoke, smoke, do some shaking, and do some meth, or whatever, right? Do some drug. Yeah, say that. And drink, and think, libertine. That means that. A prostitute, that is, you know, a woman who sell their body. A slave, that belongs to the time. But even nowadays, in some countries, they are still slaves. See it? Slave means you don't have your own freedom. You belong to someone else. That is slave. Or a member of the A division of divinities. The A division of divinity. In Vietnamese, they call them the Bác Bộ, Thiên Long Bác Bộ. Bác Bộ is an Bác Bộ means the eight of the. Usually, whenever the Buddha say some things, say the sutra, or whenever you go pray, all these divinities, you know, will gather and listen to you and protect you. You see, all these, you know, they can do harm, they can do good, they can protect you, but they can harm you also, they can kill you. So that is the reason why, you know, people in the time, you know, they believe in them, really. And whenever they go to the temple, to the chùa, they have to behave. Because if they do something good, they will protect you. But if you do something bad, they will destroy you. They will kill you or do harm to you. That is a member of the A division of divinity, a Vajra spirit. Vajra spirit, we already see it. That is, you know, the Chukking Kangthan. Chukking Kangthan usually is the protector of the Dharma. The protector of the Dharma is big, is huge, is huge. Then he carry one arm the big mountain, the other arm a sword. So the sword is bigger than the mountain. You see, he can crush it with everything. The Vajra spirit, an animal, or even a transformation being. Transformation being is like, you know, an ET, extraterrestrial. Somebody, you know, will come here. He has like 3 eyes, you know, 3 tails, only one arm, you know. So transformation being. Or some, like some people we say nowadays, if you like Marvel comics, it's a mutant. You understand what mutant is? A mutant, that is transformation being. All these, you know, are like children of professor, of the professor, right? Professor X. They used to fight against Magneto. And remember Magneto in my time, not nowadays. See, Magneto nowadays is huge. She's powerful, but in the time, you know, he used only real Magneto. real magnet. He used real magnet powers so he can levitate people because of the magnet power. That's it. But nowadays they make him wool use. They are enemies, no, for a long time. So Milton, the same thing like this. Okay, now we go into all these precepts. We start the precepts. The 10 major precepts, these are great precepts. That is, you know, if you transgress on one of these precepts, you have to pray, or you have to make repentance, really sincerely. Because these, you know, are the ones which will hurt all the sentient beings a lot. A lot. See, like killing. If you kill someone, well, that's too bad. You take their life. They cannot, you know, fulfill, you know, whatever they want anymore, whatever they have to do anymore. So that is very severe, very grave precept. You don't want anyone to kill you, right? So whenever you transgress one of these precepts, you will have to make repentance. The Buddha said to his disciple, there are 10 major bodhisattva precepts. If one receives the precepts but fails to recite them, he is not a bodhisattva, nor is he a seed of Buddhahood. I too recite these precepts. So he said that, well, I am Buddha. I still have to keep this precept, to remember this precept. So any bodhisattva, novice or non-novice, or anyone who accepts this perception will have to recite them. Reciting means that remember them. Okay, listening to them and remember them. Because you remember, we said before, in the time there was no book. So they have to be memorized like that. All bodhisattvas have studied them in the past, will study in the future, and are studying them now. I have explained the main characteristics of the bodhisattva precepts. You should study and observe them with all your heart. That is, you know, he explained all about these precepts before. Just, you know, the three root precepts, things like that. Now he goes into the detail. The Buddha continues, first, the first major precept. First major precepts on killing. A disciple of the Buddha shall not himself kill. Encourage others to kill. Kill by expedient means. Praise killing. Rejoice at witnessing killing. Or kill through incantation or divine mantras. That is, you know, you don't have any thought of killing in your mind. You cannot kill. Kill by expedient means. Praise killing. By expedient means, like, you know, some people are very sly. Very sly. They want to kill someone, but they don't kill directly. They use either, like, you know, they tell them not to go to some place to get some accident, or they try to incite one people against each other, so they kill each other. That means killing by expedient means. That means that, well, some people say, hey, I didn't kill him, I don't touch him, I don't do anything to him. This guy killed him, but you incite them to kill each other, so you get fault of it. Rejoice at witnessing killing. That's difficult, especially if this is your enemy. Like, you know, you hate some people, and then if you hear him, you know, having some accidents, something good for him. If you think like that, that's bad, because the bodhisattva is supposed to be good. Or kill through incantation or deviant mantras, because in the time of this thing, they believe that if you do something too bad, write something and then say boom, 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 and the evil will go through. Like the Voodoo's people, I make, you know, a small puppet, a small doll of you, and then say, ooh, how dear, ooh, how dear, right? You remember that? They believe in that. If you don't believe in that, it's all right. But even, you know, if you have this kind of thinking, that I will go to see this master, this Thaibua, and ask for this so I can hurt him. That's bad. Even if it cannot hurt at all, that's bad, because that gives you a demon seed in your mind already. He must not create the cause, condition, method of karma or killing. Like, you know, you invent some weapons. You say that, well, I don't want to kill anyone. I just invent this weapon to protect ourselves against the enemy, against, like, we just heard, like, a tiger in San Francisco get out and kill someone. So now we have to have some kind of means to kill the tiger before. You think that it's right, but it's wrong. Any kind of killing is wrong. You can like entrap him, entrap the tiger, or put him somewhere, whatever. But don't kill him. Because whenever you take the life off, you commit some sins. Or, you know, you destroy the bodhisattva seed in your mind. So that is one of the reasons, you know, later on you say, they incite you not to eat meat. That is, you know, if you don't want to kill animals, you cannot eat meat anymore. Or you kill it, but then, well, you will eat sparingly. He must not create the cause, condition, method of karma killing, and shall not intentionally kill any living creatures. See? Any. Now you ask him, you tell somebody, you know, to go kill somebody else, it's difficult. But then, you know, you go to the backyard, your dad say, hey, go sweep the leaves. Sweep the leaves, and now you try to get some leaves in, and then some bird can go. Like this. You do it, but then you kill someone. Intentionally kill, shall not intentionally kill any living creature. You don't intentionally kill them. But then, you know, even you will start to develop something. But if you intentionally kill, now because you're angry, you get down, you see that there's a squirrel. Or you squirrel, you get all these leaves, huh? Boom. Like this, right? Yeah, they do it squirrel here, right? So if you do like that intentionally, that's not good. As the Buddha's great disciple, he ought to nurture a mind of compassion and filial piety. Filial piety, you remember, we say that. It does not mean son toward parent. We just say. So always devising expedient means to rescue and protect all beings. If instead he failed to restrain himself and kill sentient beings without mercy, he commit a parajika, that is a major offense. Major offense. That is, if you are like a monk, you will be expelled from the order of the Sangha. They let you outside of the Sangha, of the community. You see, if you belong to some Christian, they will say you are excommunicated. Excommunicated means you are not in the community anymore. They let you out. So, being a practitioner, and if they let you out, you are like a doom. But in the Bodhisattva, nobody, you know, wants you to exclude you out, even if you commit some sin or some bad things. So you try to repent. If you cannot do all by yourself, you ask some other people, say that, well, I have committed some sin, I have committed some bad thing like this. And they, you know, will try, you know, to correct you for that, to make you do it sincere repentance. That is, you will say that, well, I did some bad thing. I killed a squirrel like that out of anger, because I didn't want to go to the backyard and sweep the yard, the lawn, and then my daddy made me do it. Instead of hitting my daddy, you know, I go and kill the squirrel. So that is not good. You try to know. Now, I dislike my father about that, and now I kill this. This not good. I will not do it again, because the anger, you know, is the cause of everything. It can, you know, incite us, kill a squirrel or kill my dad. I don't know. Some people, you know, might become angry, and if they have a gun in the house, they can start, you know, to argue and then do some bad things. So if you understand like that, you know, you are part of it. The clue of the Bodhisattva precepts is to know what is wrong. That is the most important thing. If you don't know, don't recognize that it's wrong, you cannot be saved. That is, you know, it's easy to understand, right? You go to school, they make you do some math problem. It's easy, like, you know, 2 plus 2, you say 2 plus 2 equals 5. And then the teacher say, no, 2 plus 2 equals 4. No, it's 5. Okay, you say 1, 2, right? 1, 2. Now, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, if you don't recognize that, you know, there's no cure for you, right? You cannot become smarter at all, at whatever price, right? But you say, okay, that's 4. I was wrong. Whenever you say, I was wrong, you improve. So the Bodhisattva precept is like that. We stop here. We continue next week. Gần đêm công đức này.
hướng về khắp tất cả đệ tử và chúng sinh đều trọn thành Phật đạo.
Thank you.